have a look there, because why you put all the embassies here?
Yes.
In the book, Kailash was in charge to contact the embassies to do propaganda to the huts.
Oh. Which huts? Those huts? The youth huts?
No, the youth huts. The Oromilian huts.
Oh. Okay, she has an exhibition in the town hall. Have you seen that?
No.
Of the early things? It's in the foyer of the town hall. It's nice to see.
I'm going to go now. Tomorrow, the day after, I'm going to be coming.
Yeah, you will see at the same time. It's quite striking.
It's the opposite.
Before, after.
Do an interview, we walk and come back.
Yeah.
Thank you, goodbye.
Shall we sit here or inside? Or
wherever you would like.
I go to smoke cigarettes.
You go and smoke.
Wherever here you have that sound.
We have that sound. And there we have that sound.
Okay, so we can go there.
Let's go over there.
I'm so happy to see you.
So how are you? And how
fine.
Is it all managed? How is it working over there?
You know, in the gallery is, of course, just like more an expression, you know. I remember so many years back, Roger had come. And he'll sit there because he had glasses, no?
Roger had come to where? Rodin?
Rodin, yeah. With Janine.
Yeah.
And, I came in this side because if I face that side every two minutes, I'll say hi to people.
So we'll face this side.
Yeah.
Very good.
And when he saw the gallery, he said, I want to do an exhibition here.
Yeah.
And I said, why? He said, you have been trying to make a gallery for so many years. And mother had told me to make a gallery in Auroville. And by that time, the gallery wasn't there. And he said, can I do my exhibition in your art gallery?
Yeah.
And I just started crying.
Oh.
Because for me, there cannot be a bigger appreciation than Roger himself telling that, Lalit, I'm proud of you. And because who will open an art gallery, you know, in Kuchikupam? It's a joke.
It's true. It's a little bit mad to do such a thing.
Mais tu peux ici, on peut fumer, on est libre. C'est français. On fume. On fait ce qu'on veut. On emmerde le monde. Ouais.
Très bien.
Ouais. Comment je suis possible? Ouais. C'est la liberté.
Attention, attention. Mon ami.
C'est enregistré. On le garde pour le out of cast.
Merci d'être là.
Bravo, salut Louis. Oui.
Alors, quand vous viendrez, je voudrais bien faire un petit tour avec vous tous dans mon expo.
Oui, on va faire ça.
Ouais.
Alors, il revient du tennis là.
Plus de 10 minutes.
Ah, t'as vu ça, le sportif,
je
viens. Hein.
Je d'où je descends.
Bon. Oui.
Prends un shampoo et tout, hein.
Ouais.
N'oublie pas de peigner.
Ouais.
Peigner.
Alors, Lalit.
Oui.
So ironically, that was then, and now you are here in Roger's gallery, as
yes.
It were, in a way.
You know, it's true. But
did Roger's work actually get shown in your gallery?
Not yet, but I reminded her just now, and she was there, and everybody was present there when he said that, and everybody saw a huge guy like me having tears in my eyes. Because can you imagine Roger saying, mother would have been very happy, she would have come to this art gallery, can I do my show in your art gallery? And I could not even answer him. I just started, even now I'm, you know, charged.
Okay.
With exhibiting in Auroville is like my completely I would like to be part. I am part of Mother's vision and dream and all. So I love to do as many activities I can do and share whatever I have with Auroville and the ashram, you know, because it's Mother's dream, my Mother's dream. See, maybe Mother is calling me. So every year, I used to on the 15th of January, I used to go to Mother. And a mother's room.
Why 15th of January?
Because that was my birthday. And I would see all my teachers and my friends, whoever could do embroidery, somebody could do painting, they would take it to her in a play, in a tray. And but I really didn't know embroidery or painting, nothing. So after many years, I realized that I can do photography. I've done photographs, you know. So every year I try to do a show around my birthday, like a gesture to show her the things that she has given me, you know. So I've done it in the ashram, and this time when I saw that there was a possibility, there was a gap, I said, wow, I would like to do it in Sitadin. I know it's a little bit far away and not too many people can access it easily, but for me it is that she'll come, she'll see it, and that's it.
Lovely. And did you ever show any of your photographic work to the mother?
No, I was a kid.
I
I was a real bacha. I was not even, 6 years old.
So, tell us a little bit about this the work in the gallery. It looks like it's very ironic because Paulette has a show of huts and early Oroville, you know, ephemeral type of buildings, which is what we had, and these are very established buildings, very established pictures of very established areas.
So,
first of all, where are they, the locations?
So the exhibition is called the Delhi's Diplomatic Domains, and it is actually capturing in photo for the first time more than 37 embassies that exist in Delhi. You know, when India got its independence, it wanted to showcase to the world that, you know, all the embassies are present here. So it created, very next to the Raj Bhavan or the Rashtrapati Bhavan, President's House, a corridor where they gave a huge sizes and plots of land to different embassies to make their embassies, to different countries. And so you find in just one, like Chanakyapuri Road, or you find so many different embassies of different countries.
I've seen it.
Yeah, and it was originally meant for people to see, for people who could walk into different cultures in just one street, little bit like the concept of Oroville. And the whole world is represented in that stretch of land. And it was, if I want to understand what is Nepal, I walk into the Nepal. If I want to understand what is Bhutan, I walk into the Bhutan's embassy. But
so
because
it was
of
like our international zone pavilions,
exactly,
at that time.
Exactly. And that was not possible because of security reasons. So it never really did its purpose.
I see.
Though it hosted and housed the ambassadors, but the other section, the cultural section, became only for a few invitees and a few privileged ones.
Exclusive.
So the book's intention was to open up those areas so that everybody could see.
Okay.
So I was very lucky to get permissions to enter all these embassies and bring about it into a book form. The book was written by Gladys. She was the then acting German ambassador's wife, and she wrote the book, and I was chosen to take the pictures.
Fantastic.
So the book got released some time ago, and the large format photographs, I blew them up, and I decided to share in one shot the different architectural splendors of each embassy in one gallery situation, you know. So you can actually visit all the embassies in just by walking through the Centre d'Art.
Is the book the same title as your exhibition?
Yes. And I also have a few copies of the book.
And it's available?
It's also available. It's available right now, well, in different shops, but they have made some books available to me, which are also available in the art center, Sondar, and also in Aurodhan Art Gallery.
Did you have a big team, a crew of people to assist you in the photography?
No, I was alone. I was a one-man army.
So with the lighting and everything,
I did mostly, everything was natural. I was fortunate to be able to go into places whenever I wanted to. You know, to get into the security zone so comfortably.
Lighting was good.
So the lighting was good. Whenever it was good, I would go and I would take pictures. So mostly natural lighting.
Interesting.
As it is. Of course, the interiors, we lit up the place naturally also. Like they would light it up when they live in it.
So you didn't bring any outside spots?
No.
Very interesting.
I simplified it.
Tell me, Lalit, I see your son in Oroville.
Yes, he's an Aurovillian, I think. We are all Aurovillians. Yes,
so that's Kritatma. Interesting. Yeah, so there's this connection.
He's studying in future school. Yeah. He was, and
how does he like it?
I think he his mother's child, so he's just happy.
Okay.
Most people want to be successful so that they can become happy. Okay. He's already happy, so.
And do you have any upcoming events at the gallery or the spot in Kuchikupam? I don't know what you call it.
Yes, it's the Kritashray, the Aurodhan Gardens.
Yeah.
Yesterday we had Balram Sani's nephew, who's a great guitar player. He played Brigu Sani. He played guitars.
He's great.
He was super.
Brilliant.
Yes.
I want to introduce him to my brother.
Yes.
He's a guitar maker.
oh, you know, he was here, he was supposed to come here today, but he had to leave.
Give him my number.
I will, for sure. And today we have a kind of a blues evening in my garden.
Lovely.
A few days back we had Maya Punya, who played with Mahesh Bhikkhu Vinayakam's son, who did a jamming and of course a performance, Reunion Islands. It was quite amazing.
Was it the same people that were in Bangalore some months ago?
Could be.
They were
the Tritonic. They also came and played with us. And we also had Shivamani with you, Rajesh, and we requested Mishko also to join that evening along with our temple rock, Krishna. And we had a superb evening. So with Shivamani playing the drums. So there have been a lot of events happening.
Do you feel that Pondicherry responds to all this? You've been pouring in a lot of effort into cultural exchanges, bringing people, making events. What's the response? Or do you just do it for the love of it?
You know, obviously you cannot do it otherwise. If you're looking for financial support from these activities, out of question. It's out of pocket. But the joy that I do it for the love of it, and the joy that everybody gets from it and I get from it, cannot be measured by anything else. But that is just one part of it, my enthusiasm and my love for arts and, you know, anything that is music, dance and all that, and fine arts. The other thing is that I think it is just like pouring in of grace that all of a sudden I could get some of the finest musicians and artists in the world who would just come and perform for us and for the ashram, and also many times whenever Auroville can take for Auroville. And they just come. There's no reason why this happens, but it happens all the time. And that is why when people ask me, Lalit, what's your plan? I said, sorry, I'm as surprised as you are, because I don't have a plan, but I believe strongly that it is already planned for me. So just come with me and, you know, suddenly you'll find something very nice your way.
Exciting. What other question did I have? I was going to ask you about, do you collaborate with, there's Karsha, is that her name?
Yes. Okay, I have. She's asked me for help several times, and each time I've extended it to her.
What other people are busy? Also, there's a Van Cleef not too far from you.
Yes, Van Cleef also comes. Whatever help they need, I always provide them. They all come, definitely.
So since you've been there, a few other places have opened.
I'll tell you, I'm a student. I studied in the ashram school, and I would come right from the beginning to Auroville for participating with Richard to plant trees, you know, and make small holes in the Red Hills, put mulch and put a tree. And with Tom, I mean, the ancient days. And also Shena is my wife, who was one of the flag bearers.
Yeah. The
so it was like, for us, it's like we have been adoring this dream since our childhood. We have grown up adoring this dream, you know. So for me, when I started a cultural kind of an outfit, I used to work for Tata's. Tata Steel, and then when I was working with Rusi Modi, and then had got some chance to interact with J.R.D. Tata also, who would come here. In fact, once when I met him in London, he wanted all the Aurovillians and friends from the ashram to come and meet him at James Court. So I actually sent word through some ashram friends to call everybody so that we can reunite with him there. But my point is that I always wanted to share whatever I could with Mother and Sri Aurobindo's dream, you know. So when I opened the art gallery in Kuchikupam, one of the ashram friends came and said, oh, if you want to throw away and spend all your money that you have earned in your life, do what Lalit has done. Open an art gallery in Kuchikupam, you know. I mean, it was such a thing, you know, like you open an art gallery in Kuchikupam and showcase contemporary art and tribal art and folk art. But I am happy that from my exhibitions of great artists, which I used to bring to Pondicherry also, when there would be five or six people, or sometimes it would be just the maids and Shenas and my small son, now when I do an exhibition, people come, And there are so many other art galleries which have opened. So which is...
So a little cultural revolution is happening in its own way.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Pondicherry is vibrant.
It's the place for more. This brings me to ask you, how did you feel about the Mary building being destroyed?
It was like losing one heartbeat, you know.
That's how I feel.
And the worst thing is not... we knew it is happening, we knew it is going to happen, and still nobody was taking appropriate action. I remember Francis, when the president of India visited Pondicherry, the governor asked me to do an event for him and handle his visit to the governor house. And Francis Vaxia called me from Delhi and said, Lalit, make sure you, if you get a chance, because you'll get a lot of chances to interact with him, that he should help us release funds to save the Mary. And which I did get a chance, and I did mention to him. And then the then governor actually worked to try to get funds to start work. But it was too late.
But even they would could have put plastic over the top. They could have done so much, it seemed like to me. It was like...
There is a magnificent artwork which can be seen by the naked eye even today. And they've just put plastic and some bricks on it. It's an old artwork from France.
Fresco inside.
Yes. And if nothing is done about it, we'll lose something,
but
something
I thought
very precious.
Pulled down.
No, that portion is still intact.
Okay.
Yeah, but they're leaving it to air and leaving it to the sea.
Well, I hope that the people, the correct people, are brought into play soon and that they can do something about it. It's very painful to watch a beautiful town like Pondicherry, because after all, what makes Pondicherry unique is its architecture, it's going to be its art, it's going to be its melding of cultures, and it would seem that any good administration would put that into...
But on the other side, some of my friends are building new homes, and they are going so far as to spend a lot of money just to do it in the heritage style, so that it's preserved, the mood and the beauty is preserved.
Well,
and there are many
for that, because that's a very,
there are many buildings which are coming, very expensive,
yeah.
And you'll be surprised, in the next 3 or 4 months there'll be at least 4 beautiful houses coming out exactly in the glorious heritage style.
Yeah.
So one has fallen, 10 will. I mean, I'm always
for
positive.
Us, we could always sleep well at night knowing that Ajit was there,
oh,
keeping his eye out. And losing Ajit, I think, was a great loss for Pondicherry.
Absolutely.
And it was a great loss for my sleep.
Absolutely. Ajit was somebody who was taking care of the beauty of Pondicherry.
And in a soft, such a soft, easy way he did.
And even Veenapani, you know, she did so much for the cultural part. I mean, I've seen her programs, amazing. I've seen Ajit's efforts, amazing. So people have to get inspired by those stories and continue. Otherwise, it'll be a loss for everyone.
I know we've lost a few gems in this last year, but hopefully new ones will be coming up.
Yes.
Should we take a look inside?
Yes, come.
So Lalit is going to tell us a few... I'll explain some of the features about the exhibition, and we're making our way in from the garden and walking in.
So a very quick introduction to Delhi diplomatic domains. It offers for the first time a glimpse beyond the gates of over 40 of New Delhi's purpose-built heritage property foreign missions. Through archival material, anecdotal accounts, photographs and maps, the history of their establishment, historical relationships with India, as well as architecture, interiors and landscaping of these diplomatic domains are revealed. The birth of the new Indian nation on August 15, 1947 created a capital that, while the inheritor of a rich cultural and architectural legacy had no significant history of recent foreign representation, positioning itself as a leader in South Asia, India sought to establish diplomatic relations with capitals on all continents, inviting friendly nations to cement ties by establishing missions in New Delhi. Independence brought with it the creation of a large civil service, partition a massive influx of displaced people from newly created Pakistan, Accommodation was scarce for all, including the ever-increasing number of foreign governments seeking domicile in the Indian capital. The diplomatic enclave in Chanakyapuri, established in the early 1950s, on yet undeveloped land just south of the presidential palace, Rashtrapati Bhavan, was conceived as part of the solution, and generous allocations were made to countries based on personal, historical, political relationships. It was a rare and often first-time opportunity for sending states to create unique purpose-built diplomatic missions on territory reserved exclusively for their use. So with this introduction, I'll be more than happy to take you in and show you the large format pictures that I took of these diplomatic domains.
Let's go inside. Am I allowed to come in with my chapels?
No, you can. Emilia, look.
Okay.
So there are lots of stories behind the development of the photography project that I did in all these ambassadors' homes, chanceries, and representative areas. But I will just mention a few unique features. You know, for instance, every embassy not only has artifacts from their country, represents a slight architectural beauty of their country, but also has a unique feature like the Sudan had a mosque inside it. The Czechoslovakian had a cinema hall. The Holy See had a church inside, you know, complete church. And the Finnish had a sauna. So, you know, these buildings and these embassies are meant to represent their country to VIPs when they are invited. So they, so the beauty of these inside is quite amazing. So my attitude towards photographing these was to not just take an architectural shot, but also to try to get the presence of that place. So therefore, you will see a lot of photographs which are very nostalgic, and me being very very attracted to Matri Mandir, wherever I would get a ray of light in any of the buildings, I would immediately take that picture. For instance, if you see this one is a Swedish embassy, and I found this ray of light falling, like in the Matri Mandir, you know, the ray falls and on the ground from the light above, I immediately try to capture that picture.
Interesting. So they each did represent some sort of cultural. They brought some sort of cultural element back. What this one with the chickens is very cute. Where
so
this is this?
This is the French embassy. It is the house of Monsieur François Richier, and who's the present ambassador. And I think the cop is the national. So I felt that it's a nice idea to take them with the architectural background.
Interesting. Any other ones you would like to point us out?
So
some of the gardens are rather large, isn't that? Where is that?
You know, when you talk about largeness, you'll be surprised to know that there are some embassies, the minimum size was 5 acres next to the president's house, and some were as large as 35 acres, like the Chinese and the American embassies. They were 35 acres. Can you imagine having such a huge bank of land just next to the president's house?
Yes, it's remarkable.
So this is the Sudanese embassy where you have the Quran, and I was allowed to actually go in and take the picture of their meditation space.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Photo. They do look like paintings a little bit. Were they worked in Photoshop a lot?
Actually, I did not do any Photoshopping. I just did it as it is. I just did a little bit.
They look like paintings, no? I agree.
I had a very good camera. My camera did more than most of my work.
Okay. Lalit, thank you very much.
Listen, I want to thank you. I wish when all these pictures, when we were showing it in Delhi, and there were around 12 to 14 ambassadors, and Dr. Karan Singh, who is also chairman of Auroville Foundation, he was there to inaugurate it, and the French were there and the German were there. So they all said, oh, our house looks so beautiful, much more beautiful, you know, than we can imagine. So I said that it's true. We are all much more beautiful than what we look. So with this, I invite every one of you to come and see this exhibition, which in some way has a feeling of Auroville, because to imagine all the different countries in one location is a little bit, not the spiritual side, but at least the diplomatic side of Auroville.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And it's interesting because a lot of discussion is going on about the international zone and what it could really represent. So I think this shows one aspect of that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.